up, everyone. It's time for a call to action. Welcome to Call to Action Today, where there are no sacred cows, with your host, Steve Noble, just an ordinary man who believes in an extraordinary God, and he's calling you out every week to live the Christian life in your home, your work, and even in politics. Call Steve now at 866-34-TRUTH, or check him out online at c2atoday.org. And now, with some much-needed cough medicine for the church, here's your host, Steve Noble.
Well, for some of you, it's a day when you're all in. You're all in. I mean, your kids, your whole family, you're all in. For others of you, it's a day that you do not participate in at all. I mean, the lights are out, the door is shut and locked, there's no porch light on, no semblance of you being home. For others, you kind of take an alternate route, and you do a trunk or treat kind of festival there in the parking lot of your church, or maybe you do a harvest festival, and some of you do a harvest festival on the night of Halloween, and some of you do it on an off night as to not interfere with what people in your church are doing on Halloween if they're out trick-or-treating and participating in that. This is a story I found a few years ago, a church in North Carolina. Just check this out. This is how they were going to celebrate Halloween, quote-unquote. The Amazing Grace Baptist Church in Canton, North Carolina, celebrated Halloween by burning Bibles that aren't the King James Version. Oh, excellent. As well as music and books and anything else, Pastor Mark Grizzard says is a satanic influence. So that's another way to come at Halloween. This is Steve Noble. It is Call to Action Radio. And I want to talk to you today. So I want you to call in, or if you're watching on Facebook, to share your comments that way. Facebook.com/C2A Radio, by the way, if you want to join us that way. But I'm curious to see, how do you handle Halloween? The Noble family has, we've gone through a few changes over the years, and I'll share that with you today. And yesterday I mentioned during the show, these different schools that are having all kinds of regulations now on what kind of costumes you can wear. One public university, I think it's University of Texas down in Texas itself, of course, duh. That duh is for me, by the way. 29 points on that you need to consider when dressing up for Halloween or a costume party so as to not offend anybody. So we kind of teased it up a little bit yesterday, but today I want to focus on, what do you do as a Christian, assuming you're a Christian, that how do you handle Halloween? Do you avoid it? Do you engage? Do you partially engage? Do you kind of have an alternative to it? Do you has your position changed over the years? So I really want to spend this hour with you talking about, how do Christians handle Halloween, and then ultimately, how should we handle it? And if you're looking for a black and white answer, you may not be happy today. If you're looking for a gray answer, you may be, you may not be. It's kind of like trick or treat. You never know what you're going to get, so you're going to have to just stick with me through it. I've got different articles here, different perspectives from some Christian research sites. I have a perspective from a former witch. I have a couple of pastoral perspectives, as well as some information that I got from John MacArthur, Grace to You, who you would not think would be any kind of a fan of Halloween. And for the most part, he isn't, but offers some powerful perspective there for us as Christians. So how do you engage Halloween? How do you handle it with your family and even in your church, if you'd like to share that? 866-348-7884. The first call is always the hardest because nobody wants to go first. We start like that when we're kids, and that continues through adulthood. To people don't like to go first, but somebody's got to go first. So just pick up the call and ring in, and I would love to hear from you today. How do you handle Halloween? And just a reminder, I never feel obligated or interested in or feel a need to beat anybody up when we take calls here on Call to Action. My public witness is very, very important, and how I handle myself as a Christian on the radio is supremely important. And I don't want to drive anybody away from the gospel by being a jerk, by just trying to win a debate. So please don't ever fear to call in here as if I'm going to jump down your throat or stomp on your head or something, because I'm not. I may disagree with you, but that's fine. We can disagree and still be kind to one another and still be brothers and sisters in Christ, and still maintain that bond. Arguing or disagreeing over issues like this certainly should not come between us as Christians. So please never be afraid to call in. 866-348-7884. What do you do with Halloween? How do you handle Halloween? Should you be involved in Halloween? Do you have a word for other Christians with respect to Halloween? 866-348-7884 or 866-34-TRUTH. We'll give the number out throughout the show today, 866-34-TRUTH. How do you handle Halloween? How do you look at Halloween and in your family? How do you handle it there and in your church as well? So let's start with a little history of Halloween, the pagan origins of Halloween. This is from an article put out by Grace to You, which is John MacArthur's group. Christians and Halloween. The name Halloween comes from All Saints Day, celebration of the early Christian church, a day set aside for the solemn remembrance of the martyrs. All Hallows Eve, the evening before All Saints Day, began the time of remembrance. All Hallows Eve was eventually contracted to Hallow-en, which became Halloween. As Christianity moved through Europe, it collided with indigenous pagan cultures and confronted established customs. Pagan holidays and festivals were so entrenched that new converts found them to be a stumbling block to their faith. To deal with the problem, the organized church would commonly move a distinctly Christian holiday to a spot on the calendar that would directly challenge a pagan holiday, and that's what happened to All Saints' Eve. It was the original Halloween alternative, and then it kind of came up against the pagan Samhain festival, which is pronounced Sal-en, really, if you're going to do it correctly, celebrated the final harvest, death, and the onset of winter for 3 days. That was October 31st and November 2nd. The Celts believed the current dividing, the curtain dividing the living and the dead lifted during Sal-en to allow the spirits of the dead to walk among the living, ghosts haunting the earth. So that's where you had kind of this clash of viewpoints. Are we talking about All Saints Day and All Hallows Eve as we remember the martyrs? Or are we talking about Sal-en, the Samhain, depending on how you spell it, festival, which was all about, you know, kind of the dark side and the living and the dead and the curtain being lifted. And of course, over time, you know, Wiccans and witches, all that kind of thing, they kind of jumped in on the Halloween thing and Satanists, and it got darker and darker over time. And so you have to deal with that reality. That's how it started. That's its past. And it has gotten pretty dark. And in some cases, you know, kind of adult theme, the different Halloween costumes you see out there these days can be, you know, pretty risque to say the least. And so we have to talk about it. We have to kind of work through it. How do we deal with Halloween as Christians? So we're going to jump right to the phone lines here in a second. I'm going to go to Alan, who's calling in from Greensboro, North Carolina. Alan, you're on with Steve. Thanks for calling in. Go ahead.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Oh, I mean, I just turned the radio on, and I heard that you had mentioned about how did we handle Halloween festivities and things. So, you know, to me, I just don't have a good feeling about what Halloween has come to represent in our society. I think people that are more prone for the discussion or the activity of witches and demons and things like that.
Right, and that's a great point. I think, Alan, and I'm just up against a hard break, but I appreciate you calling in and sharing that. And Alan makes a good point that there is a lot of darkness to it. So what do you do with that? We'll hit it when we come back. Steve Noble, it's Call to Action Radio. Great to be with you today. The topic is Halloween. What do we do with it as Christians? Yes, part of it, the Samhain part, the Sal-en, however you pronounce it, has a dark background. But before that, it didn't. It was All Saints Day, All Saints Celebration, and then All Hallows Eve when we were celebrating martyrs in the past. And then, of course, what's happened a lot, this happened with Easter, it happened with Christmas when there's pagan holidays. And then oftentimes the organized church would move holidays, Christian holidays, closer to the pagan holiday as a way to compete. And then, of course, in the American context, because it is 2017 and we're living in the current day, now Halloween is all kinds of different stuff. It's one of the biggest holidays in terms of sales, billions of dollars of candy, which obviously we don't need as a society, but that's a big part of it. And our kids go out and collect the trappings, right? They go get all the pirates' booty and they bring it home. And then a lot of us parents will take part in their bounty, right? Like, I want the Twizzlers, I want a few of the Reese's Pieces boxes, I want some Reese's, I want this, that, and the other thing. But should we, as Christians, have anything to do with it at all? A lot of churches do harvest festivals, they do trunk or treat, they do alternative things. But when it comes to Halloween itself, what should we be doing as Christians? 866-348-7884 or 866-34-TRUTH. I'm going to get back to our busy phone lines. Jesse's calling in. Jesse, you're on with Steve and Call to Action. Go ahead.
Hey, buddy. How are you doing today?
Great, man. How are you?
Good. Hey, my wife and I are administrators of a small Christian school, and she came up with an idea about 5 or 6 years ago. Works great for us. We call it treat tracks. So the week of Halloween, the kids bring in all their candy, and they type out scripture verses, and they stick it to the candy on a sticker, and we take whatever kids want to go. We take them out into the neighborhoods, and they go up to the door, knock on the door, and they hand the people in the houses candy.
So they reverse the process.
That's right. So instead of saying trick or treat, they say read it before you eat it, and they hand the people candy. So the kids are handing candy out. Most of the time, the people will read it, look at it, and they'll have simple scripture verses on it. It's not very long. And they'll read it, and they actually give the kids, like, just handfuls of candy. So they end up with a whole lot more candy trying to give candy away.
That's pretty cool. Like, and how's that? How did that go over with your parents there at the school, and how's it go over in the neighborhood?
Parents loved it. People in the neighborhood love it. I mean, there are some people who just kind of look at it, and they go, sure. Okay, here you go. And they still hand the kids candy anyway, but the kids, you know, the kids love to give stuff away. They just love it. So now with the costumes and stuff, we tell them, you know, no demons, no devils, blah, blah, you know, none of that stuff. You can dress up like anything, football players, baseball players, cats, dogs, frogs, we don't care.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
Just nothing demonic. And, you know, the kids actually enjoy it more than, I mean, they just take off running. When it's my turn to go to the house, so we can grab some candy there, go give it to them.
That's really cool. And so what day will you do this? Will you do this next week?
October 31st.
Oh, you do it on, so you do it on Halloween.
On Halloween.
And you take them candy instead of getting candy, but they give you candy. So it's both ways.
That's right.
That's really cool.
Yep.
Do you have this, like, is this on your website, Jesse? You want to give out your website so people can check it out?
We do have a small website for our school, but we don't publish or advertise or anything like that.
No worries. But what do you call it again?
We call it Treat Tracks.
Treat
Tracks. It's kind of like tracks that you see people lay a track down at a restaurant or something.
Yep, I got it.
We call this Treat Tracks. Yeah. And it's just a simple little scripture verse. You know, a lot of kids do John 3:16, and they just have it put on stickers, and they stick it to candy, and they just run up to the door and say, read it before you eat it.
Yeah, that's good. That's cool. Great perspective, Jesse. Thanks so much for calling in and sharing that with us.
No problem, buddy. Have a good day.
All right, man. You too. And there you go. See, that you take people are out. People are busy. And in this case, Jesse and in that school there, they decide to invade that area and to go in there as a witness. And I think that's hats off to Jesse and his team there. I think that's great. Let's go to Ricky, who's calling in from Iowa on our Truth Radio station up there. Hey, Ricky, are you there? Whoa, that's a really bad sound. So, Howard, can you talk to Ricky right quick, see if we can take care of his sound there? I'm going to jump over to Mark and Charlotte. Mark, you're on with Steve. Thanks for calling in. Go ahead.
Hey, Steve. How you doing?
Great, man. How are you doing?
Doing pretty good. Hey, I think this Halloween thing is... You know, it's a great teachable moment if you do it the right way. A lot of churches I know, that some of them that I attend, my home church, they do a trunk or treat. And they use an opportunity to teach the kids what it really started out of, like what you were talking about, and, you know, how to avoid all the bad stuff. So I think overall, I think it's a good idea if churches participate and teach their kids and their people what it really means. So I'm all for it in that way.
Yeah, and so does your church do the trunk or treat or whatever they do? Do they do it on Halloween or do they do it on a different day?
It all depends on what day of the week it falls on. Sometimes they do it on Halloween, and they encourage the kids to dress up like Bible characters or you know, anything not demonic. And they use it as a good outreach in the community. And when they come, they get names and phone numbers, and they give out the gospel, and they have a little lesson. So it's overall, it's a good outreach.
Yeah, and that's a great example. Mark, thanks so much for listening, and thanks for calling in today. And Mark brings up another good point. Hey, let's take advantage of the what's going on. And the big question there is, if you do it on Halloween, who's going to come to your church? Well, mostly it's going to be people in your church. Because most people, if they're not church people, want to be out there in the neighborhoods of Halloween because they're going to get better stuff and more of it, most likely. I mean, that's been my experience with some churches where I live. And you know, you get better candy and more of it when you go out somewhere else. And so a lot of times if you're trying to reach other people, are they really going to come to your church if you do it on Halloween? I think that's kind of shooting yourself in the foot. Doing it on another night, an alternative for a lot of people, they might go, well, hey, two nights is better than one, so why not do that? So just some great perspectives here. But if you are against Halloween in all forms, I'd love to hear from you as well. 866-34-TRUTH is our number, 866-34-TRUTH. Where do you come down on Halloween as a family? And how does your church handle it? Let's go to Mike, who's calling in from Winston-Salem, North Carolina. Mike, you're on with Steve. Thanks for calling. Go ahead.
All right, Steve. Thanks for taking my call.
You're welcome.
Hey, I just want to give you like what we do at our church. We have a fall festival and a trunk or treat, and it's all Bible themed. We pass out Bible tracts to give out some information about our youth group. We typically don't have it on Halloween unless usually falls on like a Saturday or something like that. But it's a great opportunity because they're out in the community already, like going to different places. Why not bring them in and at least try to give them the gospel message while they're out there?
And then do you guys, while they're there and you give them the gospel and talk about your church and stuff, are you giving them candy as well?
Absolutely. We do candy, and then we also do like smoke bombs, cotton candy, popcorn, we have cakewalk, you know, whatever, you know, just lots of different things.
Yeah. Yeah, that's great. Mike, thanks for listening. Thanks for calling in today and sharing that. And again, if you want to share how you handle Halloween as a family, specifically, I'd like to talk to you parents. What do you do with your kids? Do you let them get involved? Do you kind of control how they dress up? Do you avoid the Halloween night and trick-or-treating? Is that bad in your family? You just don't do it? Or do you dive in? Do you engage? We've got a lot of people on Facebook who are like, hey, man, we have a lot of fun. That's the only time a year when we get out. We see all our neighbors. It's a very neighborhood-driven event most of the time, especially with little kids. And you know, do you want to miss out on that? Do you want to be, your home is dark and everybody else's home is open? I mean, as a Christian, if we're going to be evangelistic, I think we have to consider that. Let's go to Brett, who's calling in from Creedmoor, North Carolina. Brett, you're on with Steve. Thanks for calling. Go ahead.
Hey, Steve. How you doing?
Great, man. Thanks.
So I'm kind of totally against it. I raised my kids not telling them there was a Santa Claus or Easter Bunny, so obviously we didn't celebrate Halloween. Both of them are grown men with families and solid believers. You know, the Word tells us to be transformed and not conformed to this world.
Yeah.
And so many, even the church activities, I believe, are compromised. And we're not supposed to have compromise in our walk with Jesus.
Yep, and there's some great scripture to back that up. Brett, thanks so much for calling in and sharing that. I'll share some of that when we come back. This is Steve Noble. It is Call to Action Radio. Talking about Halloween, 866-34-TRUTH. What do you guys do at your house and in your church? 866-34-TRUTH. We'll be right back.
Well, I got a message. I got a song. Can I get a witness? Tell me what's going on. Show the people.
Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, Call to Action Radio. Great to be with you. Going to dive back into our conversation. I've got some great input, not just off of Facebook, but some input from some pastors, a former witch. Somebody else on Facebook Live just shared something. Somebody used to be involved in witchcraft. I'm going to share that as well, because all these perspectives are valid. I think we need to take them all into account as we consider not only what we do and what we think and how we engage as adults, but more specifically with our children and how do we educate them about these things that go on around us. And listen, there's Christians that have a problem with celebrating Christmas because it started as a around a pagan holiday and Christmas trees and Yule logs and all that kind of stuff. And you have to acknowledge the pagan roots of some of these things. But is that what it means today? You know, for most people, no, it doesn't. You know what it means? It means candy and fun and dressing up in various ways and cruising around the neighborhood. And you graduate from the little plastic pumpkin to the pillowcase, right? So that's what I was using later. And cause it's just all about volume of candy and comparing who gets the most candy. And for a lot of people, that's what it is. It's just another, you know, gluttonous night in America. But there are a lot of things to be considered here, which is why we're talking about it today on Call to Action Radio. But before we dive back into that, I did want to tell you real quickly about a new sponsor of the show. And we appreciate that. And that helps support Call to Action Radio and keep things going. Also helps our friends that enable us to be on the air at Truth Radio Network, especially here in North Carolina where I live. Oreck of the Carolinas, if you're familiar with Oreck Vacuums, they've been around since 1963, over 50 years now. Really a great story, Mr. Oreck, who started that back in 1963, trying to help out people in the hospitality industry, hotels and stuff. And they didn't, I mean, everybody said the best vacuums are the heaviest vacuums. Well, go try to vacuum out 30 or 40 or 50 rooms a day. And that's where Oreck kind of got involved and came up with really this real lightweight vacuum cleaner, which of course took off in the industrial world, but then changed commercial and then now residential people like us. So Oreck of the Carolinas services all brands of vacuums. They have a great selection also of air purifiers and other cleaning products. And if you mention the Truth Network here in North Carolina and get any vacuum repaired for only $19.99, which is a great way to start your relationship with Oreck. So that's awesome. Another thing right now, they have $200 off on a brand new Oreck Magnesium, which I picked up one of these for our house. And they say that, you know, it's lighter than a gallon of milk. And I was like, yeah, I'm a pretty skeptical person. That's why I'm on the radio. I'm like, yeah, right. And then I picked the thing up. I'm like, does this even work? It's so light. It's the lightest vacuum cleaner I've ever picked. It's ridiculous. It's literally lighter than a gallon of milk. It's an interesting design because we had a little problem the other day with a cockroach and we had to clean out underneath the bed. And this thing, you lay it all the way flat all the way down on the ground, and you can push it under the bed, you can push it under a table, besides the fact that it's really lightweight. So that's the Auric Magnesium. That's really cool. A lot of information you can find if you're here in North Carolina, whether you're in Charlotte or the Triad or Triangle. Auric of the Carolinas has stores in all those locations. Their website, auriccarolinas.com, super easy, auriccarolinas.com. So back on the Easter thing, Easter, wrong, Steve. You're getting old. Thank you. Here's something from a former witch. Okay, I found this really interesting. And if you want to call in and share about Halloween still, I still would love to have your input here on the show today. 866-34-TRUTH is our number, 866-34-TRUTH, where your family comes down, where you come down on it, or your church. How do you handle Halloween? Would love to hear from you. 866-34-TRUTH. So here's from a former witch. As a high priest now saved by Jesus, I was astonished by how many Christians let their kids celebrate Halloween. Halloween used to be called Samhain, is still celebrated as an ancient pagan festival of the Day of the Dead by witches all over the world. Unfortunately, just giving the date a holy name like All Hallows Eve or All Saints Eve cannot change its grisly character. Halloween is an occasion when the ancient gods, actually demons, are worshiping with human sacrifice. The Apostle Paul warns us, but I say that the things which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to devils and not to God. And I would not that ye should have fellowship with the devils, 1 Corinthians 10. If you are a Christian parent, God has given you a precious responsibility in your children. Now, this is a former witch, high priest, that's writing this article. Remember, their ability to resist spiritual wickedness is much less than yours. If you allow your children to participate in Halloween, trick-or-treating, costume parties, etc., you are allowing them to play on the devil's turf, and Satan will definitely press his home court advantage. You are opening up doorways into their young lives for evil by bringing them into a kind of fellowship with these ancient gods or demons. We are commanded not to become involved with the unfruitful works of darkness, Ephesians 5. Both from my experience as a witch and since getting saved as a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ, I have seen far too many examples of how breaking this command works out in lives. Remember, while we have God's promise of protection for ourselves and our children, that promise may not hold if we allow our children to celebrate this dark holiday. Case after case has come to us of children in rebellion. In many of these families, the problem can be traced back to the children being exposed to Halloween at a young age. It's hard enough to raise children these days in a godly way without exposing them to Satan's realm. And there's some great points in there. I don't agree with all of it. I think somebody on Facebook Live said, hey, if you ask most kids today, what are they doing on Halloween? What are they celebrating? They're just going to say candy. You know, this is about going and getting candy. So do you necessarily participate in the deeds of darkness if your kids go out into your neighborhood and trick-or-treat, or if you have people coming by your house and you're giving out candy? I mean, does that necessarily mean you are participating in the deeds of darkness? Are you giving the devil his due by doing something like that on Halloween? 866-34-TRUTH is our number, 866-348-7884 or 866-34-TRUTH. And had another person, a friend on Facebook, and she said this just a few minutes ago. Before I knew Christ, I was involved in witchcraft. I can say with all certainty, Halloween is celebrated in many evil and diabolical ways. My brother-in-law's cousin was actually killed as a human sacrifice some years ago. It's just like the enemy to deceive so many people by slapping some candy on it and making it about cute little kids dressing up. Don't be fooled. The dark spiritual side of the world rejoices in the day in very ugly ways. As Christians and God's light bearers, we should have no part in that darkness. And that is a valid and valuable opinion, is it not? From somebody that's been there and done that. So I don't think any of us should write that off. I think certainly that the Satanists and Wiccan and witchcraft, all that stuff, for them, the Halloween thing, man, they're all over it. And the fact that we're kind of playing in the same pond should at least cause us to pause, should it not? And if you're going to stay involved in Halloween, you should at least use the opportunity to talk about these things, to talk about the deeds of darkness, to talk about how the holiday can be seen and taken advantage of in the wrong way, and how some people do. I think that it's important to use all these things, whether you agree with it or not, as a teachable moment. We should be parenting all the time by teaching all the time. This one's from gotquestions.org. Halloween, no matter how commercialized, has almost completely pagan origins. We talked about that. As innocent as it may seem to some, it is not something to be taken lightly. Scripture does not speak at all about Halloween, but it does give us some principles on which we can make a decision. In Old Testament Israel, witchcraft was a crime punishable by death. The New Testament teaching about the occult is clear. Acts 8:9-24, the story of Simon shows that occultism and Christianity don't mix. The account of Elymas, the sorcerer, in Acts 13 reveals that sorcery is violently opposed to Christianity. Paul called Elymas a child of the devil, an enemy of righteousness, and a perverter of the ways of God. In Acts 16, at Philippi, a fortune-telling girl lost her demon powers when the evil spirit was cast out by Paul. The interesting matter here is that Paul refused to allow even good statements to come from a demon-influenced person. Acts 19 shows new converts who have abruptly broken with their former occultism by confessing, showing their evil deeds, bringing their magic paraphernalia, and burning it before everyone. So, should a Christian celebrate Halloween? This is from gotquestions.org, which is a really good resource, by the way. Is there anything evil about a Christian dressing up as a princess or cowboy and going around the block asking for candy? No, there is not. Are there things about Halloween that are anti-Christian and should be avoided? Absolutely. If parents are going to allow their children to participate in Halloween, they should make sure to keep them from getting involved in the darker aspects of the day. If Christians are going to take part in Halloween, their attitude, dress, and most importantly, their behavior should still reflect a redeemed life, from Philippians 1:27. So there's another perspective there. I've got a couple of pastors' perspectives, and my final comments we'll get to in the last section. But if you want to call in and chime in on the Halloween question today, I would love to hear from you. 866-348-7884 or 866-34-TRUTH. Let's go to Milton, who's calling in from right here in my backyard, Raleigh, North Carolina. Milton, you're on with Steve. Thanks for calling. Go ahead.
Oh, yeah. Thank you for having me and your show.
You're welcome.
Listen, I'm not really, I don't celebrate Halloween. I'm against it. My church has an alternate service they call a fall fair. We do it on the weekend before off. And they don't have a restriction on how they dress and all that stuff. But me and my family, we're not allowed that because I've come from Honduras, and at this point, on this day, there's still people who get missing because those are Satanist people grab them and kill them on that day. So there's still a lot of bad things going on. And once you start allowing to do that to your kids, you're going...
Yeah, well,
my my kid to do that, then right. They're gonna the next hurt. Their son is gonna be worse. So
right, it can go downhill from there. Milton, thanks so much for calling in and sharing that. Again, a powerful perspective coming from a background in Honduras. Plenty of black magic, plenty of evil things going on there. Is it any different in America, or is it just disguised and looks like football players and cheerleaders running around collecting candy? We'll finish up our thoughts on Halloween when we come back. Steve Noble, Call to Action Radio, talking about Halloween right around the corner, which is when? Today's October 24th, and then October 31st, of course, 1 week from today, next Tuesday, and been talking about Christians' interaction with Halloween. Should we avoid it at all costs? Have nothing to do with it? And some people, I read an article from a former witch who's like, yeah, this thing's super dark, have nothing to do with it. And then another friend on Facebook who also used to be involved in the occult said the same thing. So perspective is important. And that's where, for me, as somebody that's never been down that road, if I sit there and go, yeah, you're overreacting. No, I can't say that. I don't have the authority to say that. I don't have the authority to say it to Elena. I don't have the authority to say it to the person that wrote the article that I read earlier, a former witch, to say, no, you need to lighten up. No. That would be like telling some friend that had a problem with alcohol in the past that and they come to your house and you crack open a beer. And they are like, yeah, could you like not do that? And you're like, what? Come on. That was in your past. No, you have to think of others more highly than yourself, right? So that's something I think that's missing largely in our Christian experience today is that, and here in the South, we'll say, oh, God bless them or bless their heart as we tear them apart and gossip about them. But, you know, I think it's important that we have these tough conversations. The Old Testament says, come, let us reason one to another. And we need to do that with lots of compassion and lots of grace, and we need to be good listeners. And that's why on a show like today, I like to bring up a lot of different perspectives so that we can kind of work through it. And I'm not going to disown you if your kids are out running around in the neighborhood And I'll share the story how I changed my position on Halloween a few years ago. The day I was doing a show on Halloween on a Saturday, when I used to be on Saturday, I'll share that one. But a couple more articles I found that I think are very helpful. Here's another perspective from an Assemblies of God pastor who was essentially saying no, kinda. But some good points here from this particular pastor. As I grew closer to the Lord and gained more knowledge of his word, I began to feel convicted about Halloween. I had thoughts like these. God is a God of life, but Halloween focuses on death. Should I celebrate a holiday where people decorate their front yards with tombstones? That's a good question. The scripture tells us to put away deeds of darkness, Romans 13, and that light has nothing in common with darkness, 2 Corinthians 6. Is celebrating a dark holiday something a child of the light should be doing? I had been delivered from fear and panic attacks and knew that fear comes from the enemy, right? We know that one. I have not been given a spirit of fear, but of love, power, and a sound mind. So this pastor goes on to say, should I participate in a holiday that has fear as its very foundation? Witchcraft is clearly detestable to the Lord. Shouldn't something that glorifies witchcraft, just take a walk through the Halloween store, be detestable to me as well? Have you ever noticed that? Go through a Halloween store or Target or wherever where there's all kinds of Halloween stuff. What percentage, go to Home Depot, go to Lowe's, what percentage of their Halloween stuff is just kind of, you know, Mickey Mouse, goofy, silly, fun, versus kind of dark? Most of it's kind of dark. So I think that's something we need to be honest about as we look at Halloween. Halloween is a sacred high holiday for Wiccans. Is this a holiday Christians should celebrate alongside with Wiccans? Again, I would go back to the word celebrate. Are you celebrating it? What are you celebrating? Why are you involved? Is it just clean fun? And if you have clean fun on the same day that other people are using it to celebrate the devil or to celebrate witchcraft, are you guilty by association? I think it's a question you need to wrestle with. What if my child dresses in a wholesome fireman costume? Romans 16:19 says that we need to be wise to what is good and innocent of evil. If I let him participate in Halloween even while dressed as a fireman, and aren't I sending him a mixed message by allowing him to participate in a celebration of evil? Well, again, I think it comes down to how do you teach your children? What kind of conversation are you having? So, back to this pastor. As a new believer, saved only 2 years, I responded to the conviction of the Holy Spirit, repented of displeasing the Lord, and put a stop to Halloween. And as a pastor, after observing firsthand the amount of destruction that the enemy brings into people's lives when they give him a foothold, I'm even more convinced I made the right decision to close the door to the enemy and on this evil holiday. Setting aside a day to celebrate evil, darkness, witchcraft, fear, death, and the demonic brings disdain to God, period. A Christian celebrating Halloween would be like a Satan worshiper putting up a nativity scene at Christmas while singing, "Happy birthday, Jesus." The two just don't go together. So what did we do instead? Hide in the basement with the lights off? Hustle the family out of the house? No, darkened homes are the enemy's victory. Where does your light shine the brightest? In the darkness. And now this is the same pastor saying this, okay? Halloween is the one day a year when neighbors come to your door expecting to receive something. So give them Jesus. Our family chose to give God the glory and the devil a black eye by reaching out to our neighbors with the gospel of Jesus Christ. You are the light of the world. Let your light shine among men that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. That, of course, is Matthew 5 and the Sermon on the Mount. So stop justifying why it's fine to celebrate this demonic, worldly, evil holiday. There are no muddled lines or gray areas about it. A committed follower of Jesus Christ should not celebrate Halloween. So they open the door. This pastor and their family opens the door. I don't know if they give out candy. They give out tracts. I mean, personally, if you're coming to my house on Halloween, and we're in a situation in our neighborhood where nobody comes down our street because it's really dark, and these other two streets that we connect to are like ripe with candy. So nobody ever comes down our street. We leave a bucket out, but we do go out. We go out with our kids. Our 16-year-old son's probably not going to do it again, but our 12-year-old daughter might. And we go out and we meet all kinds of neighbors and all kinds of parents that we would otherwise never meet. And just to love them well and get to know some people with the chances that maybe at some point you can actually have a relationship and be able to represent the Lord well and maybe even share the gospel. I mean, that's something that we feel that we should do. But, you know, our kids know that we're not out there embracing and endorsing things that are dark at this time of year. And we've raised them up that way. But when I changed on the Halloween thing, I was prepping for a Saturday show. I was on Saturdays from, it was November of 2007 to November of 2010. Every Saturday. Call to action this week. So one Saturday in there was Halloween, and I had all my prep done, and I was in here saying, yeah, we shouldn't have anything to do with it, and at the worst case, have a fall festival at your church, but yeah, we shouldn't be participating at home. We're not going to take our kids trick-or-treating, yada, yada. But then I read a couple articles, which really began to challenge my thinking. Here was one of them. So this is several years old from about.com. What does the Bible say about Halloween? Okay, so it goes down a couple different things like I've been sharing. And then you get to this. As Christians, why are we here in this world? Are we here to live in a safe and protected environment guarded against the evils in the world? Or are we called to reach out into a world filled with dangers and be the light of Christ? Halloween brings people of the world to our doorstep. Halloween brings our neighbors out into the streets. I can think of various creative ways to seize this opportunity for developing new relationships and sharing my faith. Is it possible that our negativity toward Halloween only alienates the people we seek to reach? Can we be in the world, but not of it? I close with a recommendation to give serious thought about the appropriateness of judging another Christian for observing or not observing Halloween. It goes on, and those are valid points. But for me that day, it just became crystal clear. The one day all year when pretty much everybody in my neighborhood, and at this time we lived in a different neighborhood where everybody came by our house. This is the one day a year when all the neighbors come to us and we're not home. We're not there to show them a smile, show them the love of Christ, maybe be so bold as to give them a gospel tract or a passage of scripture. And so that day before the show, I changed my mind. I'm like, no, we're going to engage. I want to be the house on our street that gives out the best candy. And people go, man, did you go to that one, that greenhouse up there? Man, that's a full-size Snickers bar. Holy cow, who does that? Now, there's a passage of scripture on the back, but you don't know what God's going to do with that. To me, that day, it was all about faithfulness, and faithfulness for the sake of the gospel. And so I left the studio that day, did the show from 12 to 1 Eastern time, left the studio, went to, I don't know if we were BJ's or Sam's Club members, whatever, and bought a bunch of full-size candy bars. Came home, printed off different evangelistic passages of scripture, had to make them, you know, they could be long, but not really tall. They could fit on a candy bar. And then those next couple of years there at our house when we lived in a different neighborhood, that's what we did. And I wanted to be generous, and people started to know. Call to Action had started. I was on the radio. You never know who knows who you are. But for me, more people know who I am than I know who they are. And so it was a matter of, well, we're going to be generous, and we're going to engage while these people are coming by and get to know our neighbors and show them some love. And hopefully maybe it'll spark some interest somewhere. I don't know that happened. I know that we tried. And that's what we're called to do, isn't it? We're called to be faithful. And God deals with fruitfulness. That's his side of the equation. So in that year, this was several years ago, I changed. I changed what I was going to do. And actually, John MacArthur, who I don't think any of, if you know who John MacArthur is as a pastor, I don't think anybody would expect him to give a pass in any way, shape, or form on this particular day of the year, on Halloween. But when you read this long article that came out of his ministry, what he does in the end is say, hey, listen, do we abandon the field? Do we walk away? He uses 3 points. So how should Christians respond? Again, this is from John MacArthur's ministry, a very, very, very conservative Christian. First, Christians should not respond to Halloween like superstitious pagans. Evil spirits are no more active and sinister on Halloween than they are on any other day of the year. In fact, any day is a good day for Satan to prowl about seeking whom he may devour, 1 Peter 5. Second, Christians should respond to Halloween with cautionary wisdom. Some people fear the activity of Satanists or pagan witches, but the actual incidence of satanic-associated crime are very low. The real threat on Halloween is from the social problems that attend sinful behavior, drunk driving, pranksters, vandals, and unsupervised children. Third, Christians should respond to Halloween with gospel compassion. The unbelieving, Christ-rejecting world lives in a perpetual fear of death. It isn't just the experience of death, but rather what the Bible calls a certain terrifying expectation of judgment and the fury of a fire which will consume God's adversaries. That's out of Hebrews 10. Witches, ghosts, and evil spirits are not terrifying. God's wrath unleashed on the unforgiven sinner. Now that is truly terrifying. Christians should use Halloween and all that it brings to the imagination, death imagery, superstition, expressions of debauched revelry, as an opportunity to engage the unbelieving world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. I happen to agree wholeheartedly with that position. That's the position we've taken as a family. And if you disagree with it and you're a Christ follower, I love you anyway. And I hope you love me too. This is Steve Noble. It is Call to Action Radio, talking about Halloween and every other subject. And speaking of scary things, I'm going to re-up something I did years ago in the next month or two. We're going to go through the entire Screw Tape Letters, the audio drama, which focus on the family. It's powerful, a lot to learn. We'll get to that here in the next couple of months. God willing, I'll talk to you again real soon.